This is Daisy Uhas, discussing pages 104 to 107 of Charles Johnson's Middle Passage. This was a really disturbing passage for me when I read it the first time. The image of Meadows beating the dogs and wearing the clothing of Calhoun and Kringle, and also of the Almusseri, is really, really creepy. It's a very interesting plot twist, but it's also a really brilliant illustration, I think, by Johnson, of how hate is something that's essentially taught and based on very superficial cues. I've heard that lesson, you know, before, and I think it's something that's stated, that you're taught how to hate, but it's not often illustrated like this, and I think Johnson did a really brilliant job doing it in this way. First, I'd like to point out that this passage brings in a couple of interesting little techniques that Johnson uses. One is sort of the plot twist. This was a very interesting book for me because it was suspenseful. There were all these little twists and turns. In the middle of this passage, when I'm seeing Calhoun hide from Meadows, there is a sense of tension that I think is really interesting. And Johnson does a very nice job with, you know, I'd finished a chapter and I felt like I was getting to the end of a TV series episode or something, because they were so carefully designed that way, with tension and suspense. There's also interesting little bits of humor. I love the fact that on page 104 we have Calhoun make the comment about the blouse looking better on Meadows. There's this odd quirky humor, and it's even funnier when a line or two later he references those same quirky rhetorical asides, and that he's not going to use them anymore. Of course, he's already broken that promise by using one a line earlier. So one thing that would be fun to talk about maybe is Johnson's techniques in writing this book, his use of suspense, his use of humor. Another technique that Johnson uses has to do with doubleness and referencing different points in the text, sort of going back and forth that way. Within this passage, one reference that sort of resonated for me with an earlier passage was calling the ship a coffin. It reminded me of that initial reference to the ship as a Black Maria, so as a sort of hearse. Doubleness, I think, is also very important when we consider identity and the fragility of identity in this novel. I'd really like to try to, as a class, take apart ideas of what identity mean in sort of Western or American culture and Almusseri culture, and also what experience means in both of those cultures, because I think it would be a very useful thing to discuss and define. In this passage, we see Meadows performing different identities, and in a way that really suggests that difference is superficial, which is something that we see throughout the book, but never, I think, so darkly as we do in this scene, where this reality that, you know, what makes one individual different from another is just these simple little quirks and appearances. By contrast, the end of the passage that I read presents a more positive example of that kind of erasure, where everyone's sleeping on deck and it's impossible to tell the difference between the sailors and the Africans, and the fact that, again, these differences of identity are just so superficial is made clear, but it doesn't have sort of this very dark undertone that we see with Meadows. One reason for that may be that the second sort of erasure of difference has to do with the natural world. We see the mist softening light is sort of related to this inability to see differences, and that leads Calhoun to question how these people could possibly want to hurt one another. I think related to that is the importance of the ocean or the sea, which is characterized as sort of this great emptiness or negating agent. We first encounter that idea when we hear Kringle discuss his fears of the sea and sort of the big emptiness of it, and that people don't understand that. Interestingly, though, while Kringle fears the way that's going to erase civilization and this particular scene, Calhoun suggests there's a positive implication that erasing that culture civilization issue also should, in theory, erase the need to kill and have war and conflict. Finally, I'd like to look at that line of, "Were all loyalties a lie?" because I think this book brings up many instances of what could be called betrayal, betrayal by crew, sort of mutiny, betrayal by country, betrayal by brother, father, body, really, as the way the bodies sort of fall apart in this book seems to be a betrayal. From my perspective reading the book, I thought this reflected sort of issues of what you can and cannot own, and the fact that you really don't have ownership over these other entities. And I'm about to lose time, so I'm going to stop there and hopefully get a chance to expand these points tomorrow in discussion. Thank you so much for your time. Bye.